Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. From bugs to fungus to disease, trees are struggling in Salt Lake City. Joining me now to talk about the extent of the problem and some possible solutions is Bill Rutherford. He is Salt Lake City's urban forester and has been for many years. Bill Rutherford, thanks very much for your time today.
It's a pleasure.
How are the trees on your street faring, and what do you think is the best way to deal with an aging urban forest? Give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Bill Rutherford, there are thousands of trees in Salt Lake City's urban forest. About 5,500 are in serious decline. Maybe describe for us what the problem trees, what kind of problems trees are facing in the city.
Well, specifically with regard to the aging forest, we're seeing problems with London plane trees, which many people refer to as sycamore. They're actually a little different tree, but they're a kissing cousin. But we see a lot of problems with fungus diseases on the trees, and we're also starting now to see, as the trees decline, insects and other problems that are just exploiting a weakened host take hold, and as a result, all these things are combining to accelerate these great trees' decline.
The fungus, the bugs, where are these coming from?
Well, they're kind of omnipresent in the environment. These particular trees are host to a fungus called anthracnose, which is a widespread pathogen that's present not only here but all around the world. And this particular tree is one of its host, and based on environmental conditions. And this tree, this disease is particularly vulnerable, and it is doing very, very well in moist, cool spring conditions. And we've had those conditions last year, one of the most moist and cool springs we've had in a long time. As a result, that disease really reared its head and has taken a big toll on the trees.
Is this just a Salt Lake City problem?
Oh, no. This problem is widespread. We probably have a higher concentration of the trees in Salt Lake City because our city forest is older and larger, and we've been planting trees a little bit longer than other areas around us. But it's not limited to Salt Lake City Corporation.
5,500 trees within the city limits. Out of how many? What kind of percentage are we looking at the whole urban forest?
The total population is probably closer to 100,000 trees that we take care of that are located on city property. So this is a fairly small percentage of the total city forest, but it also represents some of the biggest, oldest, most beautiful trees in the city.
Biggest, oldest. So this is a problem that stems from some choices that were made 100 years ago or so?
Could be. A lot of people have asked me if I had it to do over again, if we were here 100 years ago, would we do some things differently? And certainly I would advocate more diversity of species than our forest currently has. And I would also have advocated a little bit different age distribution, because we have block after block of this particular tree that was all planted at the same time. And that's referred to as a monoculture. And typically, monocultures are not in the long-term interest of plant health.
Hmm. Bill Rutherford, he is Salt Lake City's urban forester. And we're talking about ailing trees in the city core and elsewhere in the Salt Lake Valley. If you'd like to join us, if you have questions or comments about the trees in your neighborhood, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Within the past, 10, 15 years or so, I recall there's been a real campaign to rip your strip and to put in drought-tolerant plants in the parking strip, all in the name of water conservation. Does that have something to do with the decline of trees? Trees still need water, and they're in the same space as these drought-tolerant plants.
Yeah, water is definitely a factor, A lot of people over the years have asked me to champion the rip the strip and various ways to slow the flow. And although we do have to do that, because water is certainly a precious commodity in our part of the world, we also have to be mindful, just as you said, Jennifer, that our plants need water. If you remember from high school biology, the formula for photosynthesis, one of the input requirements for a plant to be able to photosynthesize is water. And even drought-tolerant plants have to have some access to water. Otherwise, the basic process of biology collapses. And we are seeing some effects of slowing the flow and ripping the strip. But there's an awful lot of conscientious people out there that are still trying to supplement the tree's water. But water is definitely a component of the tree's decline, especially a large tree, because they don't adjust to rapid changes. And although we've been doing this for 10 years, some people might not think of that as rapid. In terms of a tree's lifespan, 10 years is a rapid change.
So you think some people have forgotten to water their trees, maybe not the other plants on the strip, but the trees really need the moisture?
Trees definitely need the moisture. And one of the other things we've suggested in terms of, we've had it to do over 100 years ago, what would we do? We probably develop some means of harvesting what little rainfall or snowfall that we get here in the city to try and direct some of that water to our trees and our park strip trees, because right now they're basically sitting, many of them, in 3 or 4 foot wide park strips surrounded by concrete.
So here we are. What do we do now? We've got a lot of sick trees in our midst. What are the options?
Well, that's actually what we're doing right now, Jennifer, in terms of asking people what they'd like us to do. There's a site on the city's webpage called Open City Hall, and people have been logging on and providing input for the last week or so, and that site will be open until the 21st of February. And we've been receiving a lot of thoughtful comments. Some people have said, you know, do what's ever necessary to protect this great resource. Once it's gone, we'll never see the likes of it again in our lifetime. Other people have said, it's a tree, what's the big deal? If it dies, let's cut it down and put something else in. Some other people have gone kind of the middle ground, saying, well, let's not have the city bear the total responsibility. Let's have adjoining property owners that enjoy some direct benefits from the trees participate. So we've had a lot of thoughtful comments, and as a result of that, we'll be looking probably near that closing time for Open City Hall, a tabulation of the results, so to speak, and find out what people really want us to do. One of the concerns that people have expressed, and rightly so, is if we're dedicating money to intervene and spray with these various disease and insect problems, we have to be very mindful of the product that we're applying to the tree and how we apply it, because chemicals are something that we need to be careful with, and we don't want to repeat the issues that some other places have had where they've tried to do something good to intervene and found out the chemical had some deleterious effects. So we're also very mindful of that, and want to make selections should we be allowed to intervene with some sort of a chemical treatment, the proper application and the proper chemical.
Speaking with Bill Rutherford, he is Salt Lake City's urban forester, talking about sick trees in Salt Lake City. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. Let's go to the phones, and Sharif is joining us from Salt Lake. Sharif, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Go right ahead.
So we own a home in the Yalecrest neighborhood on Michigan Avenue, actually, and so we have one of the most beautiful displays of the trees that are in question here that are vulnerable right now to the insects and fungus. And a couple of things I wanted to bring up. I feel like, in our, you know, considering all the budget constraints that our city is facing and how schools are underfunded, as a property owner, my husband and I are more than willing to subsidize part of the cost of treating these trees, because we're the ones that ultimately benefit the most from them. Real estate agents in our area have referred to these trees as our $100,000 trees, because each tree in front of the houses in that area increases property values by about $100,000. That's something that we obviously as property owners greatly value. We also value just the aesthetics of having those beautiful old trees, and like the forester said, if we when those come down, we probably won't have something like that again in our lifetime. And so then the other comment I just wanted to make is that as an air quality advocate, I'm obviously very concerned about what is going to be sprayed on the trees. And again, I wouldn't have a problem paying more to make sure that the treatment that is used is as healthy and safe as possible under the circumstances.
All right. Thanks very much for those thoughts. Bill Rutherford, any response to that?
Well, I think she's point on.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, I've read that a single year of treatment is going to cost $350,000. You've currently got only $5,000 in the budget for this kind of treatment. You're talking a lot to put onto property owners.
Yeah, well, one of the ingredients of providing this information for community review was to try and estimate what the cost of intervention would be. So in the course of developing the information that we wanted to share, we went to some contractors and said, what's the typical price to intervene? The response was, if it's a single tree that our customer calls us about, we're looking at a cost of $50 to $60 per tree. And I said, well, we're not going to be doing single trees. We're going to be doing it globally and possibly up to 5,000 trees. What would the price be? And although nobody would absolutely give me a certain price, they said, well, a large volume, you could probably reduce the price by half. So based on that, considering we're starting with a price of $50 to $60, we reduced that for purposes of discussion to $25 to $35 per tree. But I think the reality is that as the contract proposals come in, the unit price will be lower still. It's not going to be, something that's going to cause sticker shock as the original dollar value suggested. It's going to be something less than that. But I think the caller was absolutely right when she said, the value of the trees and linked it to air quality, because that's something that we've been working on. And the administration has been very conscientious to try and work on for quite some time. And if we lose these trees, we're going to be compromising air quality, because right now they are serving as reservoirs for all kinds of contaminants that would otherwise be in our lungs.
Let's take another call. This is Chet calling from Salt Lake City. Chet, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I happen to have eight beautiful 80 to 90-year-old sycamores around my property. And I noticed, of course, as did everyone else, that the tree suffered last year. When I called in, it was said that the city did not have budget in order to take care of the issue. Is the budget in place to take care of this issue this year with the new funding that is coming down the pike, or are we looking at nothing happening this year?
Okay, Chet, thanks for the call.
And I have one secondary, just really quickly.
Yep, very quickly.
Okay, I'm being penalized by the city because I water the trees. And every extra amount of water you give them goes over and above, and you're penalized for that additional fee for the watering of the trees. So I think that needs to be addressed, because you can't zero-scape and not water trees.
Chet, thanks for those thoughts. Bill, very quickly, we've only got about a minute left.
Yeah, well, bless you for watering the trees, Chet. The answer to your question is we don't have a budget in place right now, which is why we're going through the public review process to see if the council would consider augmenting our budget so we can intervene this year.
I guess the final question I have is, what if you don't do anything? What if you do nothing, let nature take its course?
A lot of people have advocated that, Jennifer. That's one of the options on the open city hall, but the reality of it is that that's been our default position for the last several years. We've done nothing, and as a result, we've seen the trees decline. Some people have asked me if I could guarantee the results of this intervention this spring, and I can't guarantee the results, but I can guarantee if we don't do anything, the trees will continue to decline.
Bill Rutherford, Salt Lake City's urban forester, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
And Salt Lake City, again, will be soliciting comment on what to do about ailing trees on their website. We'll put a link on ours, kcpw.org. City Views is a production of KCPW News in Salt Lake City. Thanks to Tamara Kemsley and Katie Sheen Abbott. Our technical director is Jesse Ellis. Ryan Cron composed our theme music. Next time, the call for civility in public discourse and a progress report on just how we are doing. So join us for that conversation tomorrow. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.